Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Thursday, December 15th. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It's a great joy to be with you, especially all you early birds first thing in the morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Thursdays, we always remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's try to visit the Blessed Sacrament sometime today or one time this week if you can. And it's especially wonderful to do here during Advent. A quick reminder, if you go to the Relevant Radio app or the relevantradio.com website, you're going to find hours of beautiful carols and hymns, real Christmas music, secular and traditional, to get you ready for Christmas. Look for the Christmas in Song banner available now on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories that are making headlines here on this Thursday morning?
You know, John, we've been talking weather all week long here early in the morning. Another messy rush hour for much of the eastern part of the U.S. This is a gigantic storm system that stretched literally from top to bottom across the U.S. It spawned tornadoes yesterday in the New Orleans area. Three lives lost there and a fair amount of damage done as well. Currently, looking at the radar, the entire state of Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, northern Michigan snowing. That system loops down through Michigan toward Pennsylvania with a mix of freezing rain and snow. And then rain from the nation's capital on down into Florida as things slowly move east. Part of that will hit some of the major population centers of the East Coast as well today. And so messy weather for traveling, for just plain getting work done on the way to maybe some holiday time off before too long here. But kids might be smiling when they're seeing that that snow and precip, but it's been dangerous, especially further south, where it's basically like a summer thunderstorm weather and a lot of snow up north, John.
How much of the white stuff is expected your neck of the woods, Glenn?
Well, I tell you, Minneapolis-St. Paul area could get around 8 to 10 inches perhaps by the end of the evening. Further north up near Lake Superior, looking at 15 to 20 inches possible.
8 inches for Minnesota is just like a dusting. You guys are used to it.
Well, you know, it's fun to look at. It's fun to play in as a kid. You know, our hearts go out to those who have to work outside or wait outside for public transportation or, you know, try to make it into work if you've got a long commute or even a moderate length commute with the weather. And so pretty as it is, definitely a challenge, but one the people with experience with that handle. You know, but not everybody has experience that's in the lane next to you, perhaps. So be careful out there.
Well, Glenn, I imagine that even with 10 inches, as much as you Minnesotans are used to that, it's light dusting means a couple of shovels that you might have to pull and push to the side. So a couple of maybe slightly more than just a light brushing. You might need to get the equipment out for 10 inches.
Meanwhile,
I am glad the snowblower worked yesterday and it'll be working again later today, Lord willing, too.
All right, I start to say, meanwhile, on the other side of the pond, at the Arc de Triomphe on the Champs-Élysées in Paris, they are celebrating because France shut out Morocco 2-0 yesterday to advance to their second straight World Cup final. France will take on Lionel Messi and Argentina on Sunday morning. France is looking for back-to-back World Cup titles for the first time since Brazil did it back in 1962. So a lot of excitement, the attention of the world on this upcoming final, Glenn.
Oh, absolutely, too. And, you know, we think of, wow, the Super Bowl is such a big deal, but this is really the Super Bowl for the world here with football, as it's called everywhere but in the U.S.
Absolutely. And to see some of the images of the celebrations there in Paris It's quite interesting to see how jubilant the French people are for a shot at another World Cup title. Meanwhile, today is National Re-Gifting Day. You know, I didn't even know this day existed until Sarah told me about it.
John, I'm just so glad I'm here to open your eyes to so many of the miraculous things that are happening in the world today that you are oblivious to. This became, I think, a little bit more popular and something that people even thought about because of the TV show Seinfeld in a specific episode. So I'll play a little clip of it since you're not quite sure. What is Regifting Day?
Oh, is that a label maker?
Yes, it is. I got it as a gift. It's a label Baby Junior.
I just got one of those for Tim Watley for Christmas. Who sent you that one?
One Tim Watley?
He recycled this gift. He's a re-gifter.
Yep. So that's when you get something you weren't really that excited about and you give it to somebody else. And that does happen on occasion. I think all of us might be thinking, oh, I don't know if I really like this. Sometimes we just give it to Goodwill. But sometimes we think, you know what? Someone else might really enjoy this label maker. I shouldn't keep it to myself. And you give it to someone else. So that's what regifting day is, when you're getting close to the end of the Christmas shopping experience and you're just getting desperate because you don't know what to get someone, and you go through the closet and you find that candle you haven't used or whatever. So there you go.
Glenn, have you ever re-gifted anything?
You know, I'm trying to think. It's been a while, apparently. So maybe, you know, my giving and receiving game has been on par the last few years. So I know of the concept. I was just thinking as we're talking about that, one time Halloween candy came into play when the kids were young and we had run out, but they had come home already from their trick-or-treating with just a monstrous haul, and so we were able to share a little bit. And so, you know, in a fashion like that, it can be generous. We might have seen some of those Ring doorbell videos of kids when it's the nobody's home, but take a candy bar free out of the bowl thing here, and the kid will fill that up. So sometimes it can come from a sweet and generous heart. Other times you just want to get rid of that mini label maker.
Yeah, well, I definitely have regifted plenty of Halloween candy in my day. So that is going right back out the door.
I may need to watch some more Seinfeld episodes so I can get up to speed, because I'm a little behind. So, all right, as always, thanks so much, Sarah and Glenn. First things first, we always begin every morning, always in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother, Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from John 14:6. Jesus the Lord says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one name and only one way to be saved, to go to the Father and have Christmas, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to Christmas Day. This is what it's all about, Christ's Mass. Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's make room for Jesus in our hearts the rest of this Advent. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook, and you can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. Now, this morning, we're going to continue with the new University of Mary Prime Matter series, which seeks to awaken the Catholic imaginative vision. The idea behind it is to help shape and form the minds of Catholic faithful to better see and engage the world from a Catholic worldview. Today, we're going to talk about faith and reason. In fact, St. John Paul II, in his encyclical Fides et Ratio, wrote, "Faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth." Joining us live this morning is Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary and a regular contributor to Morning Air and Relevant Radio, to talk about faith and reason. To learn much more about the University of Mary, visit cometomary.life. Good morning, Monsignor Shea. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is great to be with you here, especially in Advent with only 10 days to go before Christmas.
My goodness, John, it's great to be with you too. How's the weather down there in Chicago this morning?
Much better than in other parts of the country. Just a little rain, so we're doing okay, but a lot of our brothers and sisters are going through some tough times this morning.
Yeah, you know, final exams start this morning at the University of Mary for the fall semester, and we've been closed for 2 days because of the snow and the blowing and all, the difficulty in travel and all of those things. And so it's been tough going up here. You talked to Glenn earlier about Minneapolis, North Dakota as well. We're having our travel problems because of the snow and the storms.
I would imagine that means the final exams will be done remotely for the most part.
Well, some will be done remotely, but some, you know, like our nursing final exams, many of them have to be done in person, proctored in person. And so we're going to be moving some to this coming Saturday, unfortunately.
All right. Well, we want to continue with your wonderful series there at the University of Mary, Prime Matters. And this morning we're going to talk about faith and reason, which I find fascinating and extremely relevant in this time and age in which there is a lot of faith and reason deniers. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship of faith and reason and why it's an important philosophical question?
Yes, for us as Catholics, John, this is one of the most important questions, because Christianity and Catholicism in particular, as C.S. Lewis said, he used this phrase, he said, it's a thinking man's religion, a thinking man's religion. In other words, our church doesn't ask us to believe things blindly. We do believe things by faith that go beyond human reason, but they're not in contradiction to human reason. In other words, faith and reason are two sources of knowledge, both of which point us back to God, to the truth of God, and to the truth that God has embedded in the visible world all around us, which both conceals and reveals the invisible world. And so for Catholics, faith and reason are not mortal enemies of each other. Faith and reason, religion and science, don't contradict each other. That's something which is very much in the modern bloodstream. But it's a severe limitation on the richness of reason to say that it can only explore things according to one method, which people would say would be the sort of modern naturalistic scientistic vision or method. That's a limitation on reason. And it's a limitation on faith as well, to understand faith as just sort of an emotion or a sentiment or a sort of a blind way of coping with life. These are both caricatures which reduce faith and which reduce reason. For Catholics, both faith and reason are much, much richer manners of pursuing the truth, and they're not in isolation with each other, but in fact, they engage with each other in meaningful ways. Of course, we're doing that all the time here at a Catholic university. Lots of people would say that a Catholic university is an oxymoron, that maybe Catholics could work at a university or maybe even run a university, but by virtue of a university being Catholic, you wouldn't be enriched at all. But we don't find that to be the truth, actually, because we're able to explore every region of reality, and our theology classes or our Catholic studies classes interact here with our classes in the sciences and in engineering and in nursing and in education. And that's not a diminishment, it's rather an enrichment, because it brings in the whole of human knowledge, wisdom, and experience.
When I think of faith and reason, I can't help but think of St. John Paul II, John Paul the Great, who back in 1998 wrote his well-known encyclical Fides et Ratio, Faith and Reason. Can you talk about how important his thinking was in moving this conversation forward?
Well, I love talking to you about John Paul II because he was a hero for both you and me. You know, I studied in Rome during the final years of his long and wonderful papacy. And it's true that back around that time, he was writing Fides et Ratio, where he says, and of course, you stole all my thunder by quoting that most magnificent opening line of Fides et Ratio, that faith and reason are two wings upon which the human mind arises to the contemplation of truth. So John Paul II had seen what happens when reason gets reduced, because of course he grew up under the secularist regimes of the Nazis and the communists. And he had taught at the Catholic University of Lublin, which at one point was the only Catholic university in the entire communist world. So he had seen how reason, when it divorces itself from the truths of faith, how it can become dark, how it can give rise to dangerous ideologies. And so John Paul II saw that clearly. He also saw how that happens not just under communist or socialist regimes, but it also can happen in the West under a capitalist economy when people forget about God and can then begin to constrict their freedom, not by exterior enslavement, but by enslavement to, for instance, commercialism, material things, worldly success, all of those kinds of things. And so John Paul II was really magnificent in wanting to remind the entire world and the church that the truths of faith and the truths of reason need to be held together, and that they begin to reveal a deeper region of truth as a result. And so that encyclical Fides et Ratio, which really picks up upon the teaching of the First Vatican Council in Dei Filius about faith and reason, really engages that deep question of the Catholic harmony between questions of religion and questions of science, or questions of faith and questions of reason.
And Monsignor, St. John Paul II's successor, Pope Benedict XVI, also wrote and spoke about faith and reason. In fact, he made quite a controversy with his comments at Regensburg back in 2006.
Oh, my goodness. And I remember that. I was teaching high school when that happened, John, and I was so discouraged by it because he was making a very reasonable point there. He was talking about how important it is for us as people of faith to be able to give an account, as St. Peter says in the scriptures, to give an account for the hope that we hold within us. And that if people are not able to speak with each other about differences that they have in their faith, in their deepest convictions, what can happen is that rather than having dialogue, rather than having real engagement between intelligent human beings who can then speak to each other, if you and I have different core convictions, John, and we're able to talk to each other, you might convince me of some things that I didn't think of, and I might convince you. Remember, Socrates says that the loser of an argument is actually the victor, because the one who loses an argument is the one who gains new knowledge. So the loser of an argument is actually the one who wins. And so if we're not able to do that, if faith and reason really have nothing to do with each other, and that human argumentation, discourse, and dialogue don't apply at all to the region of faith, of course, that not only takes apologetics off the table, but it also means that conflict is going to arise as a result of that. And Benedict XVI was absolutely right in respect to that. Of course, he was drawing from many sources, and one of the great luminaries for Benedict XVI was St. John Henry Newman, who wrote The Idea of a University, and who had so many amazing things to say about the way that the human mind works in the act of faith. And St. John Henry Newman said that the pursuit of faith and reason, the real educated mind, is the mind that's able to see how things are related to each other, so that reality can be more deeply penetrated by the human mind, not so that we can become all specialists, but so that we can step back, see the whole of reality, how different fields of knowledge relate to each other, and catch a glimpse that there's a mystery that runs underneath all things. And that's an enriched, beautiful, wide, capacious, and glorious way of seeing human life, the world in which we live, and the God who created us. Without it, our lives and our minds contract and begin to focus just on the immediate things that are right in front of us. And then our reality is constricted as a result. And it's hard to be happy with that kind of vision.
Monsignor Shea, here in the final moments that we have together, if you can share your thoughts on the reality of where we are right now as a society here in this country and around the world, this so-called modern times in which faith and reason has in many ways been reduced. I mean, people don't believe that it's possible to have faith and reason.
Yeah, well, what we've seen is that what was pointed to as scientific progress now is deteriorating into things which are actually irrational. Some of the sort of discourse that we're having in our society right now around questions of gender, for instance, take obvious empirical fact and throw it out the window.
Exactly.
in favor of ideology. And so this is what happens. You would think that this arises out of evidence-based medicine, out of scientific discovery. But those mantras, and we believe in evidence-based progress. We believe in scientific progress and all of these types of things. But if those aren't rooted in the deepest of truths, and you're cutting out whole regions of human knowledge and experience, what happens as a result is you come not to rational conclusions, but to highly irrational conclusions. And John, I want to say this. In the end, we Catholics are standing as sentinels, guarding not just faith, but guarding reason as well as a way of achieving and arriving at truth, because everybody else is forgetting about it.
No question about it. Well, we just scratched the surface on this this topic, but I really appreciate your perspective. I think it's an important issue, and it's extremely relevant for all of us. Anybody who believes in defending our faith and having an answer for that hope that lies within us. Monsignor, can you give us an Advent blessing?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who waited so patiently for the arrival of the Messiah, whom she brought forth into the world, through her intercession and the intercession of all the angels and saints, in these Advent days, may Almighty God bless and keep you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Monsignor Shea. It's always a pleasure and a joy to be with you, and so much appreciated. Many blessings the rest of the way here in Advent, and a Merry, Merry Christmas.
A Merry Christmas to you and to all of our listeners, John. Very grateful to be with you.
Thanks again. Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary, regular contributor to Morning Air. You can learn much more about the University of Mary by visiting cometomary.life. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Catholic author and faith coach Kendra Von Esch will be with us to share how to have joy, real joy, in all circumstances this Advent season. So stay with us on this Thursday as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Joy to the world.
Gotta love it. Joy to the world. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Thursday morning. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Great to be with you, Relevant Radio family. As you can tell, the Christmas music has begun. Only 10 more days until Christmas. Now, in case you missed it, the St. Andrew's Novena began on his feast day, November 30th. It's still not too late, folks, to pick up this traditional novena that helps us to remember the real meaning of Christmas. I want to share with you the actual novena prayer, which is supposed to be said 15 times a day until Christmas Day. And again, it doesn't have to be exactly 15 times a day. Obviously, God knows our heart, so it's our intent. So here is the prayer. Hail and blessed be the hour and moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in the piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, I beseech thee, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires. And here we're supposed to pray specifically for whatever is on our heart. And we pray through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his blessed Mother Mary. Again, this is the traditional St. Andrew Novena prayer. You're supposed to do it 15 times a day. You do it as many times as you can. Just think of what the real reason for the season is every time you do this prayer. So the question this morning is, are you struggling to feel joy here during this Advent season that has been flying by? As I said, hard to believe, only 10 more days until Christmas. There's so much hustle and bustle here in this month of December. Advent is supposed to be a time meant to be filled with a prayerful, quiet, and joyful anticipation of Christ's birth. But for some people, it can be a very difficult time, and some folks feel like they're just not experiencing it. Sometimes it's a matter of specific circumstances that don't allow us to be truly joyful during this season. So the question for all of us is, how can we have joy in all circumstances during this Advent and what's left of it? Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Joining us live this morning from Chicago, Illinois, is Morning Air regular contributor Kendra Von Esch to share some ideas on how to have joy in all circumstances here this Advent season. Kendra is a speaker, faith coach, podcaster who is passionate about sharing her faith, her supernatural transformation, and spiritual experiences while helping others on their journey. Kendra is also the author of Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. Good morning, my sister Kendra. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again. Happy Advent.
Happy Advent. I'm glad you did the math for me. I knew it was coming soon, but 10 days. Whoa.
Can you believe it? Well, and we played the Joy to the World in honor of our discussion here this morning.
I agree. Thank you for playing that, because this time of the year is tough for some people. And you mentioned we're from the Chicagoland area. We haven't seen the sun since, what, Thanksgiving?
It sure seems like it, yeah.
Yeah. Even outside circumstances like the weather, there's such a thing called seasonal affective disorder that people get a little bit more depressed and all of that during the shorter days of the year. And it's all about Jesus, others, than you. If we can remember, and I wish I came up with that, I don't know where I heard it, probably some brilliant mind on Relevant Radio, but Jesus, others, you. If we can always tap into Jesus first in our day, in our lives, we will truly, hopefully on this journey, have more of a joyful heart for all of the circumstances we're in. I'm reading this book, speaking of ways that we can improve our mind, body, and soul during this Advent time by learning and fasting and getting excited for the coming of Jesus. I tapped into this, The Art of Loving God by St. Francis de Sales. And this beautiful point that he makes, I just want to share with everyone. And I'm sure there are other tidbits that people can call in and join on here where we can help each other tap into joy this year.
You're quoting one of the true spiritual giants of our faith.
It's a wonderful book. I'm still so early in it. I'd recommend it just for my first few chapters. But he basically says we should be happy no matter what. And joyful means we have Jesus in our heart because Jesus gave us this cloudy day. Jesus gave us the snow wherever we are. Jesus has situations in our lives. Maybe we have someone who's sick, someone who passed away. I know there are really tough times this time of the year with losses and families. You got relationship issues with people that you're going to see during this time. So when it comes down to being joyful, it's accepting everything in our lives with love because God willed it to happen. And somehow, some way, there's going to be good brought out of it, even though we don't see it right now. For example, we were going through a death in my family, and my mother-in-law was in hospice, and it was a horrible time of the year. But there was joy. The whole family got together. We don't see each other very much, and we were able to connect, and my children met the or hung out with the younger cousins that they don't see because they live on the other side of the country. And there was a beautiful bond brought to the whole family that if that circumstance wasn't there, we probably wouldn't have had that. So I guess if we take a step back, and I'm being long-winded here, John, sorry about that, we can truly see that God wills this for some good. And I think we need to remember that.
There's no question about it. And I think what you're describing and what you experience is what St. Paul talks about in Romans 8:28, where God brings good out of all circumstances for those who love him. So we never understand why sometimes things happen, why he allows them to happen. It's really a matter of trusting in divine providence that it all works out. God is in control.
And that's the hardest part of the journey is that trust and that daily surrender. And so that's my other tip for people. If you don't have Jesus first, and if you don't have this kind of others servant leadership mindset to help everybody in your life in some way, shape, or form, or at least love them, will the best for them, I think we lose our identity as a child of God. And so I want to recommend to everyone to every single day, even right here on Relevant Radio, you pray the morning offering, you pray every hour. We should be doing that in our own lives every single day. The more that we allow God in and his will to rule over our will, the better our day is going to go. And then we practice that beautiful virtue of humility, which we all really aren't so good at. I don't know about you, but I'm not so good at humility.
I tell you what, it's a challenge for everybody. You know, Father Rocky, in one of his company servant sermons the other day, reminded us about how to live out humility. And he said, hey, it's real simple. Just, always pick the second best. Don't pick the best, you know, of whatever the situation is. So I think that that's a really good reminder. You know, you don't have to have the best car, you know, pick the second best. Or you don't have to have the most expensive outfit, pick something a little bit less, and that's one way of exercising the gift of humility.
Amen to that. I remember him saying that, and I did that actually. I didn't buy the car I wanted to. I didn't feel humility very much. I just felt better that I didn't buy the better car. But so on that, to tap into that a little bit more, humility is also lack of control. My husband sometimes calls me backseat everything. Like, I'm not just a backseat driver. I just want to control everything. And that's where we all have to kind of take a step back, look at ourselves and say, wait a minute, God is the master plan. When you say God's providence, we definitely need to have him in our lives in order to do his will. And I think that that's the best advice, is to bring him in every day and all throughout the day. So when you're not feeling joy, think about Jesus and his beautiful promises and that this life is so short and that we have this beautiful Christmas coming up in 10 days and we should look at our family and our blessings and our life as a gift And once we start thinking about the attitude of gratitude, we're also going to shift into that joy, which is just being satisfied and happy with where our lives are right now.
Well, Kendra, I want to invite our listeners, any of our early bird listeners, if you want to jump in and be part of this conversation about joy and why joy is not just for Advent and Christmas time. It's something we should try to live out every day. And also, if you have any thoughts on the difference between joy and happiness, we'd love to hear from you. We're taking your calls for Catholic speaker and author Kendra Von Esch at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Kendra. Stay with us. There is much more to come on Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And heaven and nature sing.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
Feels like joy to the world. Feels like snow in the air. Feels like choir singing, church bells ringing.
888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. If you want to be part of our conversation, the theme is joy. Having joy in all circumstances here during this Advent season with only 10 days left before Christmas as we continue chatting with our good friend, Morning Air contributor Kendra Von Esch, noted author and faith coach. Kendra, you know, a few years ago, I remember hearing Cardinal Dolan, the Archbishop of New York, he said something that always stuck with me. He said, "Joy is the infallible sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit." And that really hit home. And so can you talk a little bit about the importance of tapping into the Holy Spirit to help us experience that joy that we're all looking for here during this Advent season?
Sure. That was beautiful. And I was hopping and skipping around to that music that was playing just before we came back on to do this segment. And I think that that is really what it's all about, is if we remember that joy is the best net to catch fish on our journey of being disciples and making disciples, I think we will tap into joy a lot more, because we will realize that that's how God wants us to live. And nobody wants to see a bunch of Catholic people with their face all frowny. And, you know, you're not attracting anyone that way. So joy, again, Jesus, others, and you can see that. It becomes a fruit. I kind of received that beautiful gift out of my confession. When I went after being away for 26 years, and I floated out of that church, I had this joy in me, because at that moment, I realized that God was alive and well, and guess where he was? He was in that Catholic church that I ran away from my whole life. I had a huge encounter with Jesus. And if we've all had that moment with him, we can tap into that joy at any time. All we have to do is, again, be grateful that Jesus gave us this beautiful gift of faith. And if we put ourselves in our present moment and realize that God wants this in our lives, just like you said, Romans 8:28, that he does all good things for those who love him, then we can relax, chill out a little bit, and be grateful and joyful, which, as you said, is different than happiness, unfortunately, for those who don't know. That small little three-letter word that we see around Christmas is awesome, and it's a gift from the Lord.
Absolutely. You know, when I think of the difference between joy and happiness, I'm always reminded of my friend Mike Sweeney, the former Major League Baseball player, five-time American League All-Star, who once explained to me the difference between joy and happiness. He said, "Happiness is hitting a three-run home running, you're rounding the bases, and everybody's cheering for you, and everybody's going nuts.
But it ends after a few minutes. And after the game, it's forgotten. And he said, joy is knowing that Jesus is in your heart and it stays with you no matter whether you go 0 for 10 or you hit a grand slam.
That's a great analogy. And I like to kind of lean on St. Augustine, who I find a very similar life to that saint. Of course, not at the saint's part, but in his, you know, before his lovely conversion. But if I think about St. Augustine, who basically said, you know, of course, our heart is restless. I think it's St. Augustine.
Yes, that was St. Augustine, the famous quote.
And, awesome. Until it rests in thee. But we always think that it's the worldly things that make us happy. Spending money, buying, you know, bigger homes, climbing the corporate ladder, being famous, having this power and this prestige. Or let's go on the pleasure side of the house. How many of us overdrink or do drugs or are addicted to pornography and this kind of, I need to change my state of being. All of these things are fleeting. They don't give you that long lasting joy in your heart. So when St. Augustine was stuck in bed with a broken leg, he was reading two different books, one on war and one on the saints. And he found that when he shut the book on the saints, that joy stayed with him because we're filling that God-shaped hole in our heart that only God can fill, and it stays with us. We can contemplate. It should have an impact on our lives the more that we talk to God and the more that we deepen our relationship with him through prayer.
I love St. Augustine as well. In fact, I pray a prayer to the Holy Spirit by St. Augustine before every single show. No one ever hears it. It's private, but St. Augustine is always inspiring me every morning. In the moments that we have left, if you can give us some practical tips on how we can live joy and discover joy here during Advent, as well as during the Christmas season, which is more than just one day for us Catholics.
Amen. So I used to play this game where, not the game, but I used to be like, okay, Catholics, we need to wait to decorate. We need to wait until Christmas Eve because that's when Jesus comes. And then we celebrate the Christmas season. And then I heard Father Michael Schmidt say, that's okay if you want to decorate, if you want to make cookies, if you want to listen to Christmas music, because if it brings you closer to God, then do it. So I decorated and I have my lights on all the time and it really does put me in a different mood, a different spirit. So I would suggest beyond Advent or even during Advent to do things that bring you closer to God. Maybe it's adoration. Maybe it's daily mass. Maybe it's just a walk with the Bible in your ears. Maybe it's a good old hour of relevant radio that lifts your spirit. And then you can carry that on through the rest of the day, calling on Jesus to come into all of your tasks with you, because when you do, you're grateful and you're thankful, and all of a sudden, you're satisfied with what you have in your life, and you see all the blessings around you. So just keep going to Jesus, and don't allow your feelings to pull you down into despair, because that's the evil one not wanting you to be joyful. That's his goal, is to make us miserable here on earth. And so we can also play that game and deliver those spirits and focus on Jesus, bringing him in and asking him to change our hearts, because that's where everything comes from, our thoughts, our words, our deeds. And if our hearts are that heart of stone, or if we don't believe, like in James, the book of James, pray with belief, with confidence, and God will come into your heart and he will give you that joy and he will fill you with the virtue and the righteousness that you need to walk the faithful walk.
Well, Kendra, all I can say is keep smiling here during these last few days of Advent. Thanks for sharing your joy and your love of Jesus here as we prepare for the real meaning of the season. Again, thanks so much. Many blessings the rest of Advent, and Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, the whole crew, and all the listeners. God bless.
Thanks so much. Your Morning Air contributor, Kendra Von Esch. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called A Different Mommy from Pastor Ken Klaus. On a cold Chicago night, 4-year-old Barbara climbed into her father's lap and asked, "Daddy, why isn't my mommy just like everybody else's mommy?" Bob May stole a glance across his shabby 2-room apartment. On the couch lay his wife, Evelyn, racked with cancer. For 2 years, she'd been bedridden, and all Bob's income had gone to paying for her treatment. How do you explain cancer, poverty, and differences to a child? A copywriter for Montgomery Ward, Bob was deep in debt and depressed. Even so, that night he held his daughter near. Then, before he began, Bob prayed, and he asked God to give him the words to answer his little girl's question. God gave Bob those words, and this is how they came. Once upon a time, there was a reindeer named Rudolph, the only reindeer in the world that had a big red nose. Naturally, people called him Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. As Bob went on, he tried to share with little Barbara the knowledge that even though some people and some things are different, God has a purpose for them. Bob's story continued. Rudolph and his family were embarrassed by his condition, and others laughed at him. Even so, the time came when Rudolph was called upon to be the point reindeer for Santa's sleigh. And so it happened. Rudolph became the most famous and beloved of all the reindeer. When Bob was finished, his daughter laughed. Every night, Barbara asked for the story to be retold, and every night, the father repeated the tale of Rudolph. Eventually, Bob's wife passed away. And once again, Bob turned to God for help. Sitting at his desk in his lonely apartment, he worked on Rudolph. Through his tears, he worked at making the story into a poem and a Christmas gift for his daughter. Barbara loved that story. So did the folks at Montgomery Ward. In 1938, Bob was asked to an employee's Christmas party. He took his poem and read it. And the rest, as they say, is history. 1 Peter 5:7 reminds us, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Really appreciate it. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Bishop Donald Hine, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, will join us to talk about making the most of the remainder of this Advent season. Plus, Peter Atkinson, the director of the Merry Beggars on Relevant Radio, will tell us about his original programs, the latest Christmas Live and A Christmas Carol, and much more. So stay with us. There's a lot more to come next hour, the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.